All right, Super Bowl is Sunday.
18, 19. Come 20. On. Just doing my sit-ups because we got spiels on the
phone. Oh, you're doing your sit-ups, yeah.
Okay. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Boy, you're looking leaner through the radio already.
It sounds light, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does.
Hey, Chris, as a member of the media, have you ever gone to the Super Bowl and do the whole radio row and all that stuff?
I've been to one Super Bowl only because I was forced to go, the one in Minneapolis, and my brother invited me, so sure. I had to go. I don't deserve to go to the Super Bowl. I had a rule that if I didn't play it, not good enough to plan it, not good enough to go.
I so like
it. No interest in going. I hate it. I hate watching it. I'm a bitter, angry man.
Hey, I am too, and I never played in the NFL.
With you guys.
So that's your excuse. What's Storm's?
Yeah, what's my excuse?
He's a bitter, angry old man.
Yes. Well, I was listening yesterday and on Radio Row. Your former teammate, Barry Sanders, was doing all the nationally syndicated shows. Now, we've all seen the highlight reel. Was he as good a teammate as he comes across as?
Yeah, he was a great teammate.
Yeah.
And I think when you're looking at, well, I consider it the best ever, and that's all subjective, of course, but I think Barry was unique in his humility, and that comes across today as it did when he was a player. And just think of, you never heard about Barry about, promoting himself, promoting his brand. In fact, Barry was best known every time he scored a touchdown, he'd give the ball to the official. There was nothing but congratulations.
Class.
To the offensive lineman. So, I mean, that was just his way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with celebrations, because there's not. I think it's all an individual preference. But for Barry, I think he was always a humble guy, and he remains a humble guy this day. And the thing is, Barry didn't need to tell everybody how good he was. Everybody saw how good he was.
Yeah.
Hey, with this matchup, in last year you thought you had a great matchup on paper and it was kind of a boring game, but this one sure looks like, just by on paper and what we've seen in the playoffs, one heck of a matchup.
It does. I think they're two different types of teams, two very good teams. I mean, I said last year, and I kind of was getting in arguments with Detroit fans about this, I did a lot of 49er games last year. I knew they were going to be a good team, and they ended up 4-12, and everybody wanted to run Shanahan and Lynch. And I said, they got a good core. They just, they've had some serious injuries. If they can get everybody and keep everybody healthy, they're a really good team. Then you draft the NFL Rookie of the Year. You go out and get two pretty good free agents in Quan Alexander and Dee Ford. And they got a really good young linebacker by the name of Fred Warner, that not a lot of people know about, that is one of the better linebackers in the game, and their front five on defense or offensive line is physical. They do it the old school way. Andy Reid, his whole thing is it's matchups. Get Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Damon Williams, Travis Kelce. Get all those guys in matchups, and you got a quarterback that's playing better than anybody in the league. Offensively, they're very difficult to stop. So you got the strong defense against the good offense, and whoever wins that matchup will win the game.
Can you, with the 49ers, though, and we're talking to Chris Spielman from Fox Sports, the Buckeye, can you have a guy, because I've seen in the playoffs where the Packers tried to, or not the Packers, the Texans and the Titans tried to have a spy on Mahomes. I mean, can you actually have a guy be a spy on Mahomes and stop him? Because I don't think it works.
Well, I think you can't get frustrated. Remember, if you sacrifice an extra guy to sit there and try to mirror Patrick Mahomes, then thus you remove him from coverage. The one thing that the 49ers does better than anybody else, and here's some analytics for you, they led the league in sacks while blitzing the most. So that means they can get pressure with just three guys or four guys, and everybody else is in coverage, and they play a lot of zone. So when you play, for the listeners out there, when you play zone, your eyes are really back to the quarterback and on the wide receiver. As opposed to man, you're playing man coverage in pass defense. Your eyes are off the quarterback, so a squirrely, fast, smart guy that's tough to get a handle on, like Mahomes or, Russell Wilson, when you're playing man, those guys recognize man, they take off and run. And there's nothing you can do about it because your back is turned. So I think the 49ers schematically have the best way to match up against Mahomes.
And you know, Chris, also that Mahomes and, you know, Lamar, they get all the run with that style of offense now. Can Garoppolo do that on Sunday? I think he can. I don't think he gets near enough credit.
Well, that's because they're a run-first team.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, Jimmy is a really good team guy. I don't know about his decision-making and dating, but as far as being a quarterback, thank you for going back in time with me to remember that. you'll have to fill everybody in on that.
Yeah, we will do that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's really improved. And you know, the cool thing about Jimmy Garoppolo is he is a team first guy. He doesn't have an ego, and he's coming off an ACL. Ironically enough, his ACL injury occurred in 2018 against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's kind of an interesting little side. No, man, I almost have too much information in my head about all
this. That's good, though. That's why you're on Fox, dude.
Yeah. Well,
hey, Chris.
Very annoying. I really don't think about anything else, so there you go.
And that's true, too.
But I think he has, you know, they were missing. They obviously have the tight end in George Kittle, who's the best tight end in football. But, you know, the receivers really stepped up. The rookie from South Carolina, Debo Samuel?
Yeah.
And then you have Emmanuel Sanders, who they traded for, they got from Denver. So they're really a good, balanced offense. And, you know, you have a zero-ego guy at quarterback that wants to be coached and does take coaching. And it's all worked out, and I do think Kyle Shanahan's the best play caller in football.
And with both those slow starts the Chiefs had, they do that against the Niners. They may not be able to do that comeback a third time.
Well, the Niners do a great job of shortening the game, right? Because of
right.
What they throw in one of the playoff games, would Jimmy throw eight passes, nine
yeah.
passes?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's going to have to do more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. You think about that in the NFL, right?
So right.
An NFL football game, which is a passing league, they win a game by throwing eight passes.
Yeah.
That says something about the offensive line and the trio of running backs they have with Coleman and Mostert and Matt Breida.
Hey, didn't you, because speaking of Kittle, it came out this week, he's been playing like two seasons with a torn rotator cuff. Didn't you play an entire season with like a torn bicep or a torn pec?
Partially torn pec, yeah. It's great. I got a ball of blood that formed under my armpit at the end of every week.
And go on.
The highlight of my week was getting that thing drained before the game, because then eventually after week 15, it burst on its own, and I didn't have to get it drained. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. I did a podcast with a sore throat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, not too many people can pull that one off.
I know. I dug deep. I dug deep.
So
yeah, exactly.
So, Chris,
what are you dipping in? Torque special cough syrup?
Oh, he's tougher than me, Chris. Hey, so for let's say a player gets the same injury now, he's out for the season, right? You're wired different. You're wired different.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, but I don't want to take. There's a lot of guys that have played with things that they probably shouldn't play with. So you know, that's not unique. I think one of the things that is different from when I played, and it's a good thing, not a bad thing, is that I had a chance to speak with Luke Kuechly. I spent some time with him in Connecticut 2 weeks ago, 2 days after he retired, actually. And, you know, Luke Kuechly was at the prime of his career. He's a 28-year-old linebacker who, you know, made seven Pro Bowls, a defensive NFL MVP, probably a Hall of Famer. But the thing that these guys now have the luxury, because of the amount of money that they make, is that, you know, they can sit out a year, or they can retire at 28 years old. That's just the way it is, and the way the money falls, and good for them, you know. And Luke made that decision because, I don't know if you guys know Luke's history. He's a kid from St. X down in Cincinnati, played at Boston College, but has had a history of concussions. And of course, we know the attention and, you know, maybe some of the damages that guys may suffer later on if they don't take care of that. And I think Luke made the right decision.
Hey, Chris, I want to ask you about an Ohio kid as we wrap up here. You know, when you look in college, there's guys like Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck where you watch them play in college and you go, man, they're going to be a great pro. And then there's guys who are number one that you just don't know about, like Baker Mayfield and some other guys that are number one. Joe Burrow, I don't know if he's going to be great or not. I hope he is. What do you think? You think he's going to be a great pro?
Boy, that's a tough one.
It is.
Only because it's that position, right? It's the most difficult position in all of sport to play. It really is. I mean, I think when you look at predicting whether I think his chances of being great are better than his chances of being mediocre, he checks every box, right? He's a winner. You know, the thing that obviously he's improved his game physically from last year to this year, where he was just tremendous. He has everything. He can run, pocket presence, accuracy is off the charts this year. He throws the deep ball well. But here's what I like about Joe more than anything else. Like, when he left Ohio State, he could have gone to Cincinnati and been a starter. Could have gone to Nebraska to been a starter. He went outside of the comfort zone and goes to LSU. And a northern guy going to LSU, walks in there, earns the job, becomes a two-year starter, Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick. He's not afraid of being in the light, being in the spotlight. And he shined when he got there. So if I'm betting, I'm betting on Joe Burrow, no doubt about it.
Nice.
But again, that position is so difficult to play.
Hey, really nice talking to you this morning,
man. Yeah, we
got to
mention this. Yeah, the Spielman and Hooley podcast, too.
Yeah, tell Bruce we said hey, huh?
Yeah. We're doing well. It's fun. And, again, it's not only mainly football, but, you know, we do a lot of life stuff about being dads and husbands and what we do well and where we screw up and a little faith aspect thrown in there. So it's a well-rounded podcast if you're interested. So I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, take care.